Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to another episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewired.News podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that is pretty jazzed that there's a Democratic governor in Kentucky now. Pretty freaking jazzed. I'm Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piclow. Rewired.News is dedicated to bringing you the best reproductive rights and social justice news, commentary, and analysis on the web. And the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners.
We usually try to ease you into these episodes because at this point, we're just mostly trying to find ways to explain all of the bad shit that is going on in a way that won't make you want to, say, just sit back and eat sheet cake for the rest of your life. But the topic of today's episode is really too serious to be candy-coated.
It really is. State legislators have been interfering in the doctor-patient relationship when it comes to abortion care for decades, right, Imani?
Yeah.
But they've also been forcing doctors to lie about these quote-unquote consequences of abortion, like increased risk of breast cancer, for example, or infertility, or suicide ideation, or I don't know, fear of vacuum cleaners, whatever it is they cook up.
Yeah, and that's actually something that they say, that people who get abortions fear vacuum cleaners. Come on, guys. But in today's episode, we're going to talk about a truly pernicious lie that state legislators are forcing doctors to tell. And that lie is this, that abortion can be reversed.
Reversed!
Yeah, you can just go ahead and reverse it. Just put your thing down, flip it, and reverse it. But sorry, I couldn't help it. I really could not help that one. But not only that, some states like Oklahoma, for example, are forcing doctors to tell their patients that abortion can be reversed and also forcing doctors to refer those patients to a network of doctors that supposedly can help reverse abortion using experimental techniques.
What? Okay, so states are actually creating a system of regulations here that requires doctors recommend that their patients go see some quack and let that quack experiment on them like they're a guinea pig or something.
Abortion reversal is just the latest frontier in junk science, and we're going to tell you all about it, and we're going to tell you all about how it's bullshit, and that's just what we're going to do today.
Okay, so Imani, I have a question. What in the actual hell is abortion reversal?
It is a bunch of nonsense. That's what it is. There's a doctor named George Delgado who, alongside another doctor named Mary Davenport, has developed an experimental abortion reversal practice that a handful of states are promoting as science and as the practice of medicine.
So I have to ask the obvious question here, Imani. Does it work?
No. There is no credible evidence that it does.
So states are forcing doctors to parrot junk science regarding abortion reversal in likely violation of their First Amendment rights. Okay, got it. Cool. Yep. That sounds fine. Nothing to be worried about at all.
Not at all. That's exactly what they're doing. And these laws are being passed under the guise of informed consent. But yeah, exactly. Let's just hold space for the requisite fart noise. But these scripts regarding abortion reversal do not advance informed consent. They just do not. So let's just break this down a little bit.
Good idea.
These abortion reversal laws require doctors to parrot anti-abortion ideology that is not rooted in science or fact, right? There can be no informed consent when patients are receiving information that their providers are telling them based on a lie, right? This is information that providers would not be telling their patients if not for the state mandating that they do so.
Sure. So I think we need to go through and walk through the process of how medication abortion works, don't you?
Yes, and you should do that.
Sure.
I'm going to sit back and just rest my aching back here.
We're aging on the podcast in real time under this Trump administration.
Honestly, this Trump administration is making me throw my back out like I can't deal.
Okay, so a patient undergoing a medication abortion takes an initial dose of mifepristone and then 24 to 48 hours later takes a dose of misoprostol to end the pregnancy at home. Medication abortion is an extremely safe, let's say that again,
extremely safe
alternative to in-clinic abortion and is often more desirable for pregnant patients who prefer to complete an abortion in the privacy of their own home.
So how do you reverse a medication abortion then, Jess?
You don't! Because abortion reversal isn't a thing! You don't do it!
I swear to God, I can't laugh, sneeze, cough, blow my nose without risking blowing out my back. So this is really
We can't get a work comp claim, no.
God damn it. So while Jess goes to her happy place, I'm going to explain why this abortion reversal nonsense is a crock of shit.
Thank you.
Okay, so first of all, Dr. Delgado and his cohort, Dr. Davenport, who I mentioned earlier, they developed this experimental practice of ingesting progesterone after the initial dose of mifepristone to counteract the effect of the mifepristone. Now, they based this whole experimental practice on anecdotes, right? They did not do a scientific study. And in fact, Rewire.news did an investigative report in 2017 on this very subject and discovered that this paper, this quote unquote study that they did, relies on anecdotes from seven women.
What?
Seven women. And then they attempt to extrapolate from that tiny sample of seven women that abortion reversal works writ large. It is absurd. So this quote unquote study was a report of seven women. All of these seven women were pregnant and all had taken mifepristone hours or days before they decided that they regretted the decision and called upon Dr. Delgado and his cohort of junk scientists for help.
Seven women? Seven patients. Seven.
Seven.
Get together.
An episode of Friends when Monica's like, seven, 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 seven. Do you remember that episode? Why
I don't.
Are all of my references from
Amani
like
gives
sitcoms?
Me so many friend references it related so to work many. Stuff. And I miss like 80% of those. But I just got to say something here. Seven patients taking a drug together is like a sorority party. That's not... That is not a scientific study. And then, so we're going to like do this thing, you know, we're going to drink the tea and then we're going to talk about our regrets. Like, we have therapy groups in Boulder out here that are like that. This is not science. Anyway, I'm sorry. It's not.
No, it's not.
What happened to these seven women?
All right. So I'll tell you what happened to these seven women. Seven women. So I will tell you what happened to these seven women.
Seven.
So doctors provided injections of progesterone, and that's a hormone that thickens the lining of the uterus and primes the uterus for pregnancy.
Yep.
Two of the seven women aborted in short order.
Okay.
One, I like short order pancakes. Two of the women aborted
abortion
very quickly.
Up on four, sorry.
Fucking hell.
Oh,
one of the seven women dropped out of touch and could not be located by the doctors. And then four of the women gave birth to healthy infants months later.
You know, I'm just going to say it, like, maybe if you have more than seven.
Yeah. You can't do a study of seven people and try and make that like science. That's just not how science works.
I grew up with families that had more kids than seven in them.
I mean, Jesus Christ, right? The study is just bullshit because it cannot be extrapolated to mean anything because of its limitations, mm-hmm. right? It includes a super tiny sample size, seven women. Seven. There's incomplete data and there was no control group, right? There's no control group.
I'm not
a scientist. I'm bad at math. I'm bad at science. But even I know that when you're doing scientific studies, you have to have a control group because otherwise you can't really interpret the results of the study, right? Like, this seems like basic shit to me here.
I'm like sputtering. I mean, yes, I was a liberal arts major, so there's that. But I mean, you know, you've got about 40 to 50% of people who take only the mifepristone, they'll continue the pregnancy. So regardless, like that's science data, yeah. right? Yeah. So chalking it up to the progesterone injections is like, just as a premise, ridiculous.
Right. And I'm gonna repeat that because it's worth saying. People, if you take just the initial dose of mifepristone,
mm-hmm.
half of those people will continue the pregnancy.
Yeah.
So it is absurd to take a person who has had that initial dose of mifepristone and then inject them with a bunch of progesterone and then say, oh my gosh, they continue the pregnancy because of the progesterone and not because half of the people who take that initial dose will continue the pregnancy anyway. This is just, it's absurd.
And this is the ship that legislators are using to like pass this stuff. It's bonkers. Oh my God.
Yep. Absolutely. And then it gets even worse, right? So
Dr.
Delgado, after being dragged for filth over this ridiculous 7-person study, he decided in April of 2018, which is 6 years after that initial study, even 2012, he decided that he and his network of quote unquote health providers were going to publish a larger case series.
Oh, so get out, like 12?
No, actually, this one was more substantial. It had 754 patients.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
that's better.
Not bad. So this study was published in a journal called Issues in Law and Medicine.
Issues is right.
Yeah, it's a real good name. Issues. They're just issues in law and medicine. And that paper concluded that the reversal of mifepristone's effects with progesterone is, quote, safe and effective. Safe and effective. So hooray for Delgado, right? Abortion reversal is a thing, except it's not, because that journal actually pulled the paper in July of 2018. That's like 3 months later, because there was a technical investigation that had to be conducted because the study was fucked up.
But shocked. Yeah. Really, yeah. I'm shocked here.
Yeah.
You know, so the study suffered some of the same problems as the other one. There was no control group. Like,
gotta have a control group, guys. Like, this is
without a control group, it's impossible. Like, impossible on a fundamental level to know if the results of the experiment occurred because of the progesterone treatment or due to some other factor. Like, duh.
I mean, yeah, I really can't stress this enough. The idea that he just injected a bunch of women with progesterone and then said, hey, congratulations, my experimental practice works, without having a control group is absurd. And if I could just tell you why he decided not to use a control group, I think it might actually explode your brain, right?
Please do.
So he said that he wasn't going to use control groups because it would be unethical, right? Because there are women who regret their abortions and want to save their pregnancies, and it would be unethical to use a control group because that means that those particular women might not get the treatment that is supposedly going to reverse this abortion.
Come again? It's unethical to have a control group, but it's totally ethical to run around shooting folks up with progesterone?
Apparently. Apparently. And just think of how asinine that argument is, right?
What?
Like, there are cancer patients out there, people who are literally dying, who are involved in experimental studies, trying to test new drugs, new ways of treating cancer. And this jackass is telling you that it is unethical to use a control group for abortion reversal when we use control groups for everything, including people who are dying of cancer, who, if they don't get the experimental drug that might save their life, will die. But somehow abortion is separate and other than and more important than someone who is dying of a... help me understand. Like, I can't understand.
I don't know that I can. I mean, this is literally like brain exploding stuff here to be invoking informed consent and crafting these sort of ethical, I don't know, like carve outs for abortion in relation to the study of medicine, especially because what they're doing can be dangerous. Like, this isn't like, you know, I mean, so let's talk about why. Side effects of progesterone are uncommon, but they are dangerous, okay? They can include things like maternal depression, hypertension, and pain where injections are given, according to one doctor who testified in a legal case against Arizona's abortion reversal law.
Yeah. Yeah. Arizona, you tried it, right?
You tried. You did.
You freaking tried it. They tried this law in 2016. They couldn't defend the law on scientific grounds. And so they
ended up.
Yeah. Can you believe it? I mean, there was a lawsuit, a whole shebang. It turned out Arizona couldn't defend the law on any scientific basis. And so they ended up not only repealing the law, but then having to pay $600,000 in attorney's fees. $600,000 in attorney's fees. Like, imagine, that's a, just, it's just a waste of taxpayer dollars in order to defend a law that is based on bullshit.
$600,000 would go a long way to providing actual health care for Arizonans. I'm just saying.
Yes.
So even though these laws are bullshit and involve experimenting on pregnant people like they're guinea pigs, states have nonetheless been pretty successful in passing them, haven't they?
Yeah, states have actually been quite successful in passing them. Here's a litany of states. Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, Nebraska, South Dakota, Utah. North Dakota's law was blocked by federal court. Oklahoma's law was recently blocked by state court. And as we just mentioned, Arizona repealed its law in 2016 because it couldn't defend it on any scientific grounds.
Ohio's got one cruising through its legislature right now, too. So these are live bills.
They really are. And, you know, a lot of these laws are based on model bills that have been developed by Americans United for Life, right? And this bill is called the Abortion Pill Reversal Information Act. So we're just talking like just Mad Lib bills, right? Just grabbing shit out of the ether and inserting state, insert information. It's like, this can't be the way that we legislate healthcare for vulnerable people.
Starting on a study of seven
women. Oh, my God.
Oh, Imani, let's talk about Oklahoma specifically because it's the worst one and the most recent one to be blocked. So I think it's a good one for us to dive into.
Absolutely. So Oklahoma's law, SB 614, it had been scheduled to go into effect in November. Thankfully, it was blocked.
Woo,
but it basically said that doctors who fail to give this abortion reversal nonsense to patients could receive a felony charge.
A felony!
Felony. So it's a felony now to not lie to your patients, which is awesome. The law also required abortion providers to put up signs in their offices saying that medication abortion can be reversed and assigning a penalty of $10,000 for every day that they fail to do so.
Good grief.
Yeah, that's absurd. And Oklahoma's law requires that doctors refer their patients to a hotline and website referral run by Dr. Delgado, right? So the state is actually forcing doctors to send their patients to adjunct scientists. It is outrageous.
Who's going to, like, what, experiment on them more? This is bonkers. Okay, so here's something our listeners should know about Delgado's network. The hotline and website connects patients to members of the Abortion Pill Rescue Network. Like, I'm having images of, you know, folks going out and like literally rescuing packages of abortion pills.
Right.
That's not what they're doing.
No.
This is a group of professional healthcare providers who claim to be able to assist pregnant people who want to reverse their abortion through Delgado's experimental practice. So who are these folks? Well, it's a network backed by Heartbeat International, Imani.
Oh,
that's
God.
An anti-abortion rights group. And according to spokesperson Andrea Truden, includes more than 500 clinicians who are willing to prescribe progesterone to patients who have initiated the medication abortion process.
That's distressing. You got 500 people who went to medical school who seem perfectly okay with experimenting on pregnant people.
That's just, yeah.
So let's go back to talking a little bit about Oklahoma's abortion reversal law. So it requires that doctors provide this junk information on three separate occasions, right? First, they have to provide signage in the patient waiting in consultation rooms. And those signs contain state mandated language about abortion reversal.
Second, the Oklahoma law requires abortion providers to inform medication abortion patients 72 hours before their appointment to receive the medication that, quote, it may be possible to reverse the intended effects of a medication abortion that uses mifepristone if the woman changes her mind, but that time is of the essence. The law provides an exception, though, for medical emergencies.
Oh, well, fantastic. Thanks for that.
Yay.
That's real helpful. And third,
snaps for that.
And third, after the patient has taken the mifepristone, the law requires that a provider again inform the patient about medication abortion reversal, this time by handing patients written instructions for how to reverse the medication abortion. And those written instructions, of course, contain language mandated by the state, because that's what states do now. They just interfere in doctor-patient relationships. And of course, I have to stress again, there is no scientific evidence supporting such a claim except for this jackass and his 7 women study.
This is bordering, if it doesn't cross the line, into coercion. Like, anti-choice communities are always complaining about patients being coerced into abortions. This is really, like, to have 3 different points of entry for this information, this misinformation, these lies to get to patients. That is so vulnerable. I mean, what if you're a patient, of course you're thinking that this is the route that I should take, right? Like, that's, I mean, it's so distressing. Okay, so aside from just being pissed and that we're legislating basically off of a dinner party, why do we care about this, right? Why do we care about this? Well, because there's no shred, as Imani said, not a single bit of scientific evidence that abortion reversal is possible. And that's not just us yelling about it. That's the American Medical Association and ACOG, too. Doctors who are offering to undo medical abortions are essentially testing an unproven experimental protocol on pregnant women. And that's per Daniel Grossman, who knows a thing or two about this area.
A little bit, just a little. And also, let's talk about how this is an egregious violation of the First Amendment rights of physicians,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes.
We talked about this recently in connection with the Kentucky ultrasound case.
Yep.
It's the same shit here, right? This law, the laws like this, and particularly Oklahoma's law, demands that physicians violate ethical practices and provide state-mandated ideological messages that are completely at odds with universally recognized standards of medical care, right? Like, they are just straight up telling doctors you have to lie to your patients.
Yep.
I'm going to read a quote from plaintiff's complaint that should just illustrate the point. SB 614, that's Oklahoma's law, compels physicians unwillingly and against their best medical judgment to convey orally to their patients content-based and viewpoint-based government-mandated messages and to affirmatively direct their patients to government-created materials and referral information with which plaintiffs and the overwhelming consensus of the medical profession vehemently disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just as we talked about this with the Kentucky ultrasound case, we have to bring up NIFLA, right? NIFLA v. Becerra. That's the case where California was like, hey, man, maybe you ought to tell your patients, crisis pregnancy centers, you should tell your patients that you're not actually doctors. And the CPCs were like, no,
we can't do
our First Amendment right. So, you know, the same people who are whinging about CPCs being required to disclose that they're not licensed seem to have no problem with doctors being forced to parrot state bullshit,
yep,
or face felony charges and civil liability. How does this make sense?
It doesn't. And can we talk for a second about the real stigma that these bills promote? Because telling pregnant people who have chosen abortion that their abortion is reversible promotes this notion that pregnant people are rushing into a decision that they may regret, even though we have data beyond 7 people that shows that more than 96% of people who obtain abortions don't regret it. In fact, it is a good, positive, life-affirming event for them. So this undercuts ethical guidelines regarding abortion care, which is to counsel the patient to ensure that their decision, the patient's decision to obtain an abortion, has been made with full knowledge. You know, I mean, informed consent, right?
That's what informed consent is supposed to be, but that's just not how it's working in actuality.
No.
Apparently, informed consent means the state gets to tell you what to tell your patients and you have to suck it up. You know, and just recently, I got into a Twitter back and forth with someone about these laws, and he said a couple of things that made me mindful. So I think that we should talk about it just, you know, just to be clear.
Yeah.
So the first thing he asked was, shouldn't women be given choices? Which is pretty fucking ironic because, yes, I think he was getting at the point that women should have all of the information that they need to make a choice. But isn't that what pro-choice is about. Like, it's just a little bit odd to hear anti-choice people talking about, oh my God, women need to be given choices. Oy. And, you know, one of the Oklahoma law backers actually expressed a similar sentiment,
mm-hmm.
saying, our intent is to get as much information as possible to women. If there's a chance that a fetus could be viable after a woman takes an abortion pill and that their pregnancy could go to term, that's something they should know.
So this is really dangerous in my mind, yes. because people who want to support abortion rights will hear this kind of thing and be like, that sounds pretty fucking reasonable. But it's not, because these are bad actors, all right? So what we have are folks taking advantage of people's understanding of informed consent and really going off to the races with it. What these lawmakers in places like Oklahoma are doing actually undercuts the purpose of informed consent. This was something we also talked about in that Kentucky ultrasound episode. For informed consent to be meaningful, the information that a doctor provides has to be truthful and not misleading, right? You have to be able to make an informed decision. Quackery! Quackery is the opposite of truthful and not misleading, right? This is misinformed consent. It's not informed consent. It's deliberately misinforming the consent process.
Yep. You could not be more right, Jessica, really. It's just, they're just lies.
Lies!
Liars!
Liars lies. Telling lies!
Lies! Liar! I feel like Carol Kane in Princess Bride. Liar! So here's another question that sort of answers itself. So even if this abortion reversal process isn't 100% scientific, mm-hmm. why shouldn't it be offered as an option, as a suggestion to pregnant people?
Sounds reasonable.
Because experimenting on patients is unethical. That's the answer to that question. I mean, Jesus Christ, you can't just shove progesterone into people and be like, eh, it might help you keep your pregnancy. It might not. I mean, we don't know because, again, 50% of people who take that initial dose of mifepristone go on to carry on their pregnancies if they don't take that second dose of misoprostol. So it's like, what are we even doing here?
And with no control group, you assure that you can frame the results of your study in any way you want to, right? There's no way to say, oops, we did a study within the ethical guidelines for experimenting, for doing medical experiments on pregnant people, and the information told us that our theory is bullshit.
It's so distressing.
Yeah,
It's just very distressing. The ways in which anti-choice lawmakers are just inserting themselves between doctors and patients, just destroying the trust between doctors and patients. How is a person supposed to be honest and truthful with their doctor if they can't be assured that their doctor is being honest and truthful with them?
I don't know. I think I need to go get a beer.
Yeah, let's go do that.
This was a lot.
That's going to wrap it up for today. We're going to start drinking at 10:20 a.m. I believe it's 11:20 a.m. in the Vortex where Jessica is. If you want to continue talking about this nonsense, abortion reversal nonsense, I already said nonsense. That's two nonsenses.
You know what, though? It's bad enough that it's like it might even deserve a triple nonsense.
It is triple. It's a triple sow cow nonsense is what that is. So you can find me on Twitter at Angry Black Lady. You can find Jess on Twitter at Hegemommy, H-E-G-E-M-O-M-M-Y. And just a reminder, Jess is now the interim president of Rewire. So that's very exciting. And we'll golf clap for her. Clap for her.
Yay,
very excited. Very excited about that. And if you want to follow Rewire on Twitter, you can follow at Rewire_news. And aside from that, Jess and I are going to, what are we going to do?
We'll see you on the tubes.
See you on the tubes.
Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Jessica Mason Piclo and Imani Gandhi. This episode was produced by Mark Folletti, who is also our executive producer. And the Rewire.news editor-in-chief is Jody Jacobson.